אז היא רק סתם. שבוע לפי מה עובדת? What time is it now? There's a Gemara in Brachos and a Dalva in Beis. And that is the subject of this Siman Reshu test here in Shulchan Aruch. And the Chabad says, quoting the Gemara, Arba Tzrichim LaHodos. There are four people who are obligated to say Hodos Hashem is Barach. And they are Yordei Hayam, people who go down to the sea, Ofim Midbaros, those who travel in the desert, Misha Yachol Ben Isfabe, someone who was sick and was healed, and the fourth is Misha Yachol Ben Shemesa Asuri. The Gemara actually here in Brachas Dab Medalit, the Gemara actually cites Psukim in order to bolster the position. The Psukim are primarily taken from one parak in Tehillim, a very well-known parak, and that parak really, which is a beautiful parak in and of itself, more or less accentuates these four situations. The Gemara then asks the following question. My Baruch, the Gemara says, what bracha do you make? Om Rabbi Yehuda, Baruch Gomel Chasodim Tovim. That's the bracha. Abai says that it has to be done in front of 10 people. Tichsib Yiramu Bikal Om. There has to be a group of 10 in order for it to be Chal. Mazut Ramar, Utrei Minayi Rabbanon. There have to be at least 2 Tavde Chachamim. Shenema, Uvmosh Askeni Nimi Halulu. Ask the Gemara, Maskel Rashi, Vei Makulu Rabbanon. That they should all be Talmidei Chachamim, in front of whom the bracha is said. The Gemara answers, Miksi Bekal Zekeinim. Let's say Kahal Zekeinim. There are a few good jokes here. It says, Bekal Amksin. The aim of the Gemara says, maybe it means, Be'asara Sharama Utrei Abana. You need at least 2 Talmidei Chachamim. And the rest could be Sharama. So the Gemara says, Kasha. So as I said, the marker for this whole discussion Perek in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Zayin, and there's a refrain in that Perek, Yodul Hashem Chazdo V'Nivlosim Le'Yodam, and you probably are familiar with the acronym. That's the way to remember these four. B'chol HaChayim Yiduch HaSela. The word Chayim stands for Polish in Isrape. The Yud is Yordei Hayam. The other Yud is Yotzei Beis HaAsurim, and the Mem is Olchim Mibodros. Those are the four cases that I mentioned here by the Mechaber. So question number one, which the Mishnah talks about, is Dafka these four Achayim? What can I add to the list? Is there room to add to the list? Or Dafka these four? The Gemara says, I brought to him the others. What about other situations that come up? There certainly are other situations. And secondly, any other situation which perhaps may come up, must it be similar to these four? Is there a common denominator to these four? Or perhaps there are other situations that can crop up which don't necessarily have to be, shall we say, within the framework of these four. I'm just going to read a Rivash, a famous chub of the Rivash that Mishnah Berurah actually refers to. Rivash makes the following comment. He says, O Chalta, that which we say in Perek HaRoeh, Abba Tzvichim Lahodos, Mi Neima Eilu Dafka, do we say Dafka these four? Doha Akros Samti, that is based on Psukim. Vim Kain, if that's the case, Nafal of Kosev, let's say a wall falls on me, God forbid. O Nitzo, or as my wife would say, falls on somebody else. Chas v'shalom, I should say, it falls on me. O Nitzo Midriso Shor, a person is saved from a wild stampede of an animal. Udigi Chosev, the Chayotze Benisim Elo, Eino Chayim Lebarech, Dachba Nisvor, O Dilma, Koshkeinu. If these four are chayav to go ahead and say Birchas Hodah, Birchas HaGomel, certainly anybody else. Comes the Rivash, and the Rivash in a long tshuva he says, the Gemara is not makbid dafka in these four. The Gemara is talking about anyone who is saved from what kind of a sakana? I read the Rosh of the Rivash, from sakana's babes, from a sakana of death. That's a sakana, and the Rivash brings a raya from a bracha that we say, that's mentioned by the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Brachos, Baruch Sha'asu Dineis Bavaka Mazeh. That if a person is Zoche to a nest, so that place, if you come back to that place, what are you supposed to do? Make a bracha, Baruch Sha'asu Dineis Bavaka Mazeh, says the Rivash. If a person passes Bavaka Mazeh, Yesh Tavarech, Ahaz Kamu Lukamu Yesh Tavarech, Ala Nes Atzma. That one should certainly make a bracha on the nest itself. That's the Kal V'chomer drawn here by the Rivash. But what's very critical in the Rivash is what he says, that what nisim are we talking about? Nisim where a person is saved from sakanas mavis, which means, what is the chiyuv? The chiyuv is what could have happened, but did not happen. What potentially could have been a disaster, but the disaster was averted. So now the question is, what is called disaster? How do you define the word sakana? What is exactly the situation or situations which are mechayev abir hasagom now? Because I could have interpreted the Gemara here in a totally different way. I could have said the Gemara is not telling you that the bracha is made on that which might have happened, potentially could have occurred, but rather, what is the bracha being made on? That which happened before. That's the pashmi shat in the Gemara. Yer de ayam holchem midbaros chalosh nisrapim mishar chamarim tzasurim, namely that these four individuals underwent all kinds of what I would call trauma of sorts. I don't know how you feel. Maybe it's because I have a claustrophobia about me. I can't even get into an elevator. But when I go into an airplane, which is too many times, I have this unbelievable claustrophobic feeling. I can't begin to describe it. It's very traumatic for me to go into a plane, and I would prefer to walk across the ocean if that were possible. But unfortunately, I don't have those kochos. They belong to other religions. From the lush of the Gemara, the way I read the Gemara is describing people who underwent all types of trauma. Going into a midbar, holding midbar, certainly someone, God forbid, is a cholev and isrape, someone who's chavish v'esa asurim. So the lush of the Gemara, especially with the psukim that the Gemara quotes, it's mashma, that what is machayim the bracha? The very tzar, the very trauma that I underwent. Anyone who's familiar with Kuf Zayin and Tehillim, by which I've said a number of shiurim on, you could actually look in naaleh.com, and trust me, you would gain more from doing that than all the movies in the world, and all the shmovies in the world, and all the other Rahman al-Insan, Bittul Zman and Bittul Torah that people do. I gave actually some very good shiurim on Kuf Zayin. And so that's the subject of this particular Gemara that I've been over here in Gochis. But it's clear from the Gemara that even the psukim, the example, I don't know if you appreciate the Hebrew, but the Hebrew is very beautiful. When it speaks about Yorde Hayam Ba'aniel Semaro Masi Hashem, Vayame Ruach Sara, describes a terrible tempest that's taking place on the sea. Yahu Shamayim Yerde Tahomos, the cascading waves and the torrential downpour. Yachubu Vianu Bakashikar, and you are in that boat, and you are being tossed to and fro like a drunken man. And of course the reaction is Vayitzakol Hashem Batzalem Umim Tzokosem Yotzien. And similarly, someone who's in prison, anyone who has, thank God, no one here should be in prison or should ever go to prison. I visited, unfortunately, one of my balabatim in prison a few months ago. And the other night we had actually we said to Hillen for an appeal that's taking place today. And halavai, the appeal should work. You read about someone in prison, so we really don't know what prison is all about until you actually visit someone in prison. To get into his prison cell, I had to go through, I counted actually, the number of wardens that had to lead me into his cell. There were 11 wardens. I went through 7 gates. He's in the heavy security prison here in Eretz Yisrael. And then I saw the conditions that he was under. Actually, I came in under the guise of being a rabbi. Not a guise, I have to be a rabbi. But the reason they let me in was I'm going to give a shiur to these people in Mexican security prison. This was the Agaf Torani, the so-called Torani section of the prison. Now, if you would see who's in that Torani section of the prison, and Baruch Hashem, I look at you, you are the sweetest, kindest, finest, most wonderful people in the world that I ever met. I arrived there at the scene. One of the prisoners clearly did not know who I was, thought I was another prisoner. Before I knew it, I was tricked. The first step I came in, he just stuck out his foot, and I landed, shall we say, in the wrong place. What happened at that moment? At that moment, one of the wardens saw what the fellow did, and on the spot, I blew you my keys to car. He was almost beaten to a pulp. These are, by the way, from people. They're in the Agaf Torani. And then I spent 5 hours there. I don't know if you would call what I said a shiur. I don't think it was that. I prepared one thing, and then when I saw whom I was talking to, I said to myself, what in heaven's name am I doing here? And so I proceeded to tell them stories, as if I was talking to 2-year-old children. I'm not exaggerating. And I spoke to them for approximately an hour and a half, except there were 7 breaks in an hour and a half. So it took 5 hours as opposed to an hour and a half. Anyway, it was a frightening experience. The fellow that I came to visit probably is the Malach among them, relatively, and he is himself frightened out of his wits. Anyway, the reason why I'm saying this to you, the Rav Ashi presents the position that what is the Mechayiv of the Bracha? The potential disaster that I could have been in, that was averted. But the Pashas of the Gemara, the Fiyad Yusdaiti, is that what is the Mechayiv of the Bracha? Not the Etzma Sakana, but just the trauma of each situation. It's an unbelievable trauma, being in prison, Yardi Ayam, Chodesh in Isrape. I don't know, Baruch Hashem, you don't have to visit people. I visit people who are in hospitals, and trust me, there's unbelievable trauma. I was so fit to visit a Rav Shmuna, a Rav in my neighborhood, who had leukemia, and through a nes nigla, through a bone marrow transplant, was zochet to almost chias amesim. I don't know how to describe it. I spent probably 150 hours with him. Every single week I went to visit him in Hadassah in Karen. Every single week I did it for about a period of 4 or 5 months, and literally on a weekly basis. And trust me, no one of us wants to be, God forbid, in a hospital under any circumstances, certainly not similar to these. Apparently the Rav Ashi disagrees with my parshanas, doesn't agree with my understanding of the matter. He's kobeya in the very fact that I'm exposed to sakona, that's the Mechayiv of the Bracha. A very fundamental machlokes. Now the Mechaber quotes 2 days in Reish Yutes, I assume you saw this. Arba Tzricha Lahodos, Yordi Hayom She'olu Mimenu, Yordi Hayom when they ascend from the sea, V'holchim Midbaros Chiyagil Yishuv, those wandering in the desert when they come back to civilization, and it tells you the siman that I mentioned to you before, the Cholachai Miduch HaSelam. And the Mechaber goes on to say, Hani Arba Lav Davka, that these 4 don't take it literally. Do Adil Mishanasa Lones, Yochan Abalav Kosel, he quotes the cases mentioned by the Rav Ashi. If a wall falls down, God forbid, and falls on someone, Omito Midrisa Shor, he's saved from the stampede. Stampeding hooves of the shore. Oshawala beer, are you the Torka? A son, let's say, a person is visiting the biblical zoo, and out of nowhere, shall we say, the lion, the biblical zoo, somehow the cage, for whatever reason, melts, and all of a sudden you are staring in the face of a lion. And he's about to devour you. Oh, in Ganon and Bolo, Shem, they buy the Nitzelayan, Chogayotzim, and say, Kulam Sigil, Varech HaGomel. So the Chabad passed in the first day, they're all Chayim, Bechas HaGomel. Vie Shomrim, Shem Baruch Hagomel and Lahani Abu Adafka. All of these 4 make a Birchas Hagomel. V'tov the Baruch will askar Shem Baalpus. So the second opinion that says that only these 4 make a Birchas Hagomel, and as I said, that this opinion, which the Mechaber quotes, which argues with the Rav Ashi and claims that only these 4 are chayev, comes in Mishnah Berurah
in Sifkat Lamed Aleph.
I'm reading the Mishnah Berurah. Elahani Abu, why dafka these 4? Why would I think dafka these 4 should make a Birchas Hagomel and nobody else? Because these 4 are very common events. How often you visit the biblical zoo and the cage melts and all of a sudden you're faced by a lion about to devour you? Someone is walking on the road and suddenly, even not a Makom Sakana, he's walking in, shall we say, Beit Shemesh, which is a nice, placid, peaceful kind of place. And all of a sudden, listen, come along. Armed brigands, armed robbers, and want to take everything you have, and you're saved. The Kuliyama, you have to make a bracha Beit Sakana. So you have 2 days in the Mechaber, and the Mishnah Berurah has this comment trying to explain, why would I hold after these 4? But the Mishnah Berurah said, because these 4 are Shriach. So the Mechaber himself, it's Mashma, there are 2 possibilities here. One is that Dafka these 4 make a bracha, or no, we can extend the bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that the reason for the first position is based on the fact that they are Shriach. These 4 are very common, as the Mishnah Berurah says. Now if we accept that as the Mishnah Berurah, so then there's room probably to extend the number of situations to other situations as well. And even if you assume that Dafka is limited to these 4, again, there's a reason to go ahead and examine what exactly is the nature of these 4 that makes them so unique and distinctive. I'm just going to use one example, which is quoted by Rishonim at great length. namely Chodesh and Nisrape. Akoda Hagos Maimonides, also quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, Hagos Maimonides, Hilda's brothers, Peregil Alfaches, said the following. Piyashav and Yosef, what kind of a Chodesh? Dachu Chodesh and Nafal Mishkav. A Chodesh who is Mushkav the Mita, which by the way, Hilda Shabbos is very, very critical as far as, let's say, use of medication, but like someone who is in bed, Abochosh Barosh Abumayav, which is every 5 minutes. Someone who has mechush, his stomach aches, his head aches, he has other kind of aches, etc. V'lom nafal l'mishkav, ain't tzarech l'varecha. That, there's no need for a bracha. Dafke mishan nafal l'mishkav. Amnam, ba'oruch, ne'erach ha'bo apirish b'shem ha'haygon, sh'afil ha'choshit b'roshah b'grainai, nafal l'varech, ha'chash ha'korah b'atzera. What's up, ha'haygon? He says, no, even someone who has a sore throat, or someone who has some other kind of minor, I guess you would call it, mechush, ailment, headache, migraine, the minute is to make a bracha, Abba Shekhar Batar. Now it's very interesting that the criteria used by Rabbi Yosef is the criteria that we know from Hilchos Shabbos. Chayla Shenafel L'Mishkav. As mentioned by the Ramban, Shin Chalches, which is Hilchos Shabbos, that a Chayla Shenafel L'Mishkav, what is his status of Pidin? He's a Chayla Shemusakar. That's what it says in Halacha, and therefore he's allowed to use all kinds of medication on Shabbos, and Chazal now goes to Mishum Shrika Sabaman. There's a general exero, not using medication on Shabbos, because in the Xer of Shkin Samaman, he might be led to Tochein. So in this case also, we're talking about a Cholesh and Abba Mishkav, and that is a Cholesh, which is Mechayim Bracha. But according to Rav Haigon, he says, no, even a Mechush Kal, even something which is of a minor nature, namely a sore throat, a headache, etc., also would require a Bracha according to him. And therefore, you see from this clearly, that the obligation to make a Bracha does not emanate from what? From any kind of Sakonas Chayim. Doesn't emanate from the fact that someone's life is in danger, but rather simply for the metzias of sevel, yisurin, different types of yisurin, the different levels of yisurin that people have. The reason why I mention this is because this is the subject of a machlokes between the Ramban and the Raibin. I'm not going to go into all of this. I actually investigated it very carefully last night, but I'm interested in the whole topic only in order to be able to, shall we say, try to define more precisely. The Ramban, I want to read you a lashon of the Ramban, which to me was incredibly striking. Ramban, by the way, is a Taras HaAdam. Ramban writes, "Ulinyan birchas acholim lav dafke b'chol sheish b'sakana v'lo b'makas shalchol dafke," which is also an inyan hilchos Shabbos. "El kol shalom lemita v'yarad tzar v'hodos." Anytime a person is bedridden, you have to say hodot Hashem is brach. Neshedome Moshe elu legardom lido v'tzar prakliting gdolim minotzel. Anytime a person is bedridden, Nachman Litzlan, who knows how it could end? Sometimes from a simple flu, a person goes to bed from some sniffles and a flu, and in bed, and pneumonia, and God forbid, Nachman Litzlan, it could lead to death. That's what the Ramban says. And you need Prakliten Gedolim, you need big lawyers. V'racham of Shakadish Baruch Hu Nasalim Prakliten. Who are the lawyers? Racham Yishamayim. V'chein Be'in Hader, Shekol Holchi Drachim Tzichim Na'odos. Anyone who knows about driving in a car, the Rav Zechem the Bracha held that there was no need to make any kind of bracha or tefillah when he went on the Eastern Airlines shuttle going from Boston to New York and back. He felt that was the safest thing he could do. And the moment the Rav got into a car in Boston or New York, right away he became a classic brisker. Now the brisk, they're known for their, what's the word? Nervin. They're very nervous people. That's the understatement of the year. That's why they never smile. They always think they're going to be killed in the next minute. Or they're going to somehow die in some sort of a car crash, or who knows what's going to happen. They're going to develop sniffles, which they'll never recover from. And the like. They have this unbelievable nervous tendencies about them. So this is Lashon of the Ramban. The Al-Gadr Rabbi Yehuda, all keep in verse, Oman, Rishna Likron Maka, Bechol Derech B'mashma. And he goes on to quote, Yushalm Nizkal Atvach B'cheska Sakona, and on and on and on. It's a long Ramban here in Torah, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you see from the Ramban that Ramban is saying anytime a person goes to bed, that is to say not to sleep at night, but you are bedridden because you don't feel well, there's an element of sakana. Even though it doesn't look like a person is, God forbid, in a life-threatening situation, Ramban is talking about klaklitim, rachmei shamayim that are needed for a person who's a choleh, but not even a choleh over sakana schayim. And this fits the Ramban, by the way. Anyone who knows the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, I'm not getting into the Shitas of Ramban, but it's Pashut that this is the Ramban, the Shitaso, the Ramban holds every single event that occurs to me is a Nes. A person, in effect, does not realize, Ein Bala Nes, Makir Beniso. And even on recovery from a simple sniffles, one has to say, Shevach Vodah, Tragadish Bochum. And secondly, the Ramban, even though he doesn't speak about a sakana every time I go into the bed, but still it's clear that potentially there's a sakana. Okay, I say all this simply because, as I mentioned, there are two deos regarding this matter. And let me just mention one other thing because you want to say something. And that is that there is a fascinating machlokes how we pass the halacha, the mechaber ratio test. See if it was Zayin Ches. If you have it in front of you, you can see it. Ashkenazim with Tzarfas in Mevachim Shalchem Eir Leir. Shalachim Vel Vahotei Bidbaras and Shechichim Bein Chai Yisrael to list it. In Ashkenaz, in Tzarfas, in France, in Germany, they don't make a bracha when they go from city to city. Only Hotei Bidbaras. You have Chai Yisrael to list it. You have people who are, you have wild animals running around. Ubi Svara Nogi Lebarech. But in Spain, Svardin, they have a bracha. Shekol HaZvachim Ches Sakon. Ubi Bepachot Bidparsa in Mevarech. Then he writes, "V'chol chol itzar b'varach afilu einu chol ishal sakana." V'lo ma'ka shol chol. Kol she'olim l'mitu b'yarad, neshedomu k'mishelu l'garda l'idun. That's Ramban Zoshin. Anytime you go into bed and it looks like you never know what's going to be, and it doesn't make a difference whether it's a michosh kavua or einu kavua. That's what the Rambam says. There's the Ramah. Yeshom b'denu b'varach v'akal chol ishal sakana. Go ma'ka shol chol. So we have two days regarding people who travel on the road and regarding chol ishal nisrapi. In Halacha Zayin, the Mechaber brings two days. In Halacha Ches, the Mechaber skips the second day, but the Ramah is Mashlim, and the Machlok is very clear. Halacha Lamaise, what do Bnei Svara do? How did the Rabbi Avadya Paskin? Rabbi Avadya Paskin, the Halacha, that any time you go on the road, you make a Birchas Hagodah. What about a Cholosh in Isrape? The Mishnah Berurah here says that the Ashkenazim should be Noagin like Bnei Svara. V'chein Noagin be Ashkenaz. And he writes, because of the Rabbi, the Tzas Noagim Bisoras on the Chaber, across the Leo Rabbi, the Magid Giborim, Shekol Shekol Bechol Gufo, that there's Chilul Shabbos, Bevarach HaGomel. And that's why the other writes as well. However, Dafka, if you fall to a mitzvah for 3 days, Ayin Bira Halacha, if it's a Machla Sheish Sakona, even less than 3 days, you have to make a bracha. Meaning the Mishnah Berurah understands that there are those who don't accept the Pesach of the Rabbi. He gives you two actually possibilities. He says, minimally, you have to have 3 days in bed. And secondly, there's a certain degree of sakana that's required. Okay, all this is by way of simple overview to the topic, which I felt it was important to overview. I have actually a lot more to say about overview, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go to Halacha Lamaise in terms of, and I'm going to deal with your issue as well. I'll do that. Anyway, so, yeah.
No, you're probably going to cover the halacha
section. Yeah, I'm going to try to.
In the first opinion, how would you define bed rating? Is there like a time period?
For what? To the vision of?
Of bedridden. Meaning bedridden to be like an hour or just...
No, you have a... Shmuel says, he talks about 3 days. 3 days he talks about. Now, I want to first begin by pointing out that the bracha, Mishnah Berurah himself defines the bracha. What does it mean? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam HaGomer L'Chayavim Tovo. What does it mean HaGomer L'Chayavim Tovo? It says Mishnah Berurah, Mashma, that I am a chayav. What does a chayav mean? I am liable. I did something which was not in order, not beseder. Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo, the Gemara says in Shabbos and elsewhere, not Shabbos, it's Kol HaShas. The Gemara says in Kol HaShas that what is maimis? What causes a person to die? What does the Gemara say? Ain't blank maimis, el a blank maimis. Anybody familiar with the Gemara? I'm sure you are. What is maimis? What causes a person to die? The answer is chatoy. Achet maimis. And so I am a chayev. I'm really someone who is apparently, shall we say, liable for something. My behavior was not in order. Because of that Hashem, shall we say, punished me. As a result of that punishment, I am in the situation that I'm in. And therefore I have to make the bracha hagom l'chayev tovo shigmal ali kol tov. Now, it's like a korban todah. So when is the bracha made? So Tesis writes in brachas over here, Nundalva Bebeis, Shenogo Olam Lebarach Bichas HaGomel Acha Shekori Matarah. Why is that so? So I heard from the Rav Zachem the Bracha a number of times. Why do we make it then? So the Rav actually referred to a Nitzid in the Meshiv Dabar. I haven't seen the Nitzid in a long time. But the Nitzid Paskas Halacha that since we don't have any connection to the Beis HaMikdash today, correct? Because the Karban Todah is a Karban that's born in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash no longer stands, we no longer can offer a Karban Todah on his behalf, so we substitute this kind of public proclamation of gratitude to Hashem Yisbarach as an offering. So why do we do it after Kriyas HaTorah? It says in the Tziv that since what remains today, Lo Nishalonu Min HaMikdash Rak HaTorah Azos, Ein lo shir. Bakaterazos. You would not know that. Ashkenazim say that in their piyutim and slichas. So that's the case when the Sefer Torah is on the bima. The Sefer Torah is on the bima. What is the bima considered to be? A kind of mizbeach. And Birchas HaGomel is like a carbon todah. And just like you have to have a carbon's carbon, al gavi ha-mizbeach, so too you make the Birchas HaGomel Eisel Shulchan HaKriya, which is Daimon HaMizbeach. The Sefer Torah is on. Because the Shulchan is Bepinas Mizbeach Shem HaMikdash. That's what HaSolovetchik, that's what he once said, and I think he quoted the Netziv. I have to look back at the Netziv to see exactly what the Netziv says, I don't remember, to be very honest. But certainly Birchas HaGomel is comparable, as I said, to a carbon totem. Now, in that vein, I want to just now talk halacha lemaisa, things that I've jotted down for myself. Firstly, when is Birchas HaGomel said? So Birchas HaGomel cannot be said in private, but it's dafka said, the Gemara said, I just quoted to you, in the presence of at least 10 men, we say it right after Kriya Satara. But again, there are the Chathila ways of doing it, the Mishnah Berurah says, there are the other ways of doing it, the Mishnah Berurah says. What's the Chathila? The Chathila, and this is quoted here by the Mishnah Berurah, in Reshu Tess, Sivkot Chof, that Birchas HaGomel should not be delayed more than 3 days after whatever Sakhani you went through. Of course, the Chathila, you should say Birchas HaGomel at the soonest Kriya Satara possible. Number two, you need 10 people. The Ramamu Bikalon, with Meshach's Kane, and Yahalu, 10 men, including 2 Tamil Chachamim. I didn't define a Tamil Chacham, someone asked me yesterday. Well, one thing I can tell you, I'm not a Tamil Chacham. A Tamil Chacham is someone who says to Ramon and Shechonor, Shehodeh Adisa Belite, Ramon Gomes Hashas. I am very far from that. So, there are Tamil Chacham in the Yeshiva, among the Rabbeim, that's for sure, but I am very distant from that definition, Lechura. Anyway, so it says you need 2 Tamil Chachamim and the one beside Gagom should be present. 3. When do you say it? Someone asked me. That is to say before the Kaddish or after the Kaddish. So I went crazy, I never thought of it. And I saw the Paskin bring down after the Kaddish that follows Kriya Satara. That's not the Minhag. I see people say it right after the Aliyah. I saw Paskin saying not like that. That needs deal. Number 4. Must you do it in a position of Amida? Mishnah Berurah says yes. Why? Yama bala karba miyama al karbano. Mishnah, Mishnah Masechet Tainis. You have to stand when you bring the karba. Next, can I recite it at night time? What would you say? Someone asked me this question yesterday. Am I allowed to say it at night time? Offhand, what would you say? For example, a woman who says Mechas HaGomel after giving birth, can she do it at night time? Lechatchila. So I think since Eliezer says yes, in the Tshuva, I look at it, check it out please, I don't remember, but I believe he says yes, but the Poskim say no, has to be said during the day, Dafka.
What's the purpose
for the day? I imagine based on the Korban, the Korban is only by Yom, not by Laila. There's no way that there's some English by Laila. Now, next issue, this is an issue of my shul, which has become a massive issue. Misharim et HaSeichel Shalim. Every single week that people are coming back from Kutzaras. You hold like a Moshe, there's a big machlok, it's a poskim, the Absalvechi Hill, there's no need to say Birchas HaGomel when you go on a plane. It is the safest thing imaginable. A Moshe did not look like that. By the way, I follow a Moshe, but not both ways, only on the way back. A Moshe has several truths about this. I only say Birchas HaGomel on the way back. When I come back to Eretz Yisrael, that's why I say Birchas HaGomel.
Please, the Davin and the Yashav Shul, and if he is to ask, or somebody would ask before they made the Agoma, they would stop them. I've been there a couple of times, I stopped them. So are you staying here, you're going back, they're going to America. Say he's going to America, so he wouldn't make the Birchas HaGomel.
But on the way back?
Pashtus.
Yeah, so that's what Moshe writes in the Tshuva, which I don't know why no one seems to know that Tshuva. They know the other Tshuvas from Moshe. Let me just mention one more thing. So the issue I'm mentioning is, in my shul, they came from Maskana, it's a Tshuva and a Tzibura. 5 people, every single Shabbos say Birchas HaGomel, one after the next. Each one gets up there. So they decided, and they asked the Rav, my shul. They decided, let's one person make it, and everyone will be yotzei by listening to the other one's bracha. Now the Mishnah Berurah talks about this over here. In Mishnah Berurah discusses a reshut gimel, sivkot yud beis, and Mishnah Berurah in simin ches, sivkot yud gimel. I went looking last night, went crazy. What does Mishnah Berurah seem to be mashma? That is not correct. Each person should make their own bracha. However, if they're expressing gratitude for an incident they experienced together, then one bracha should be made on behalf of everyone. Mishik balanu kaltu, who yigmalenu kaltu tsela. Based on Mishnah Berurah. Rabbi Akiva also had a discussion about it. So in my case, what do people say Birchas Hagana for? Everyone came from overseas. Everyone. They were all traveling. The Chuseyama. Got a lot of them. And so the Chura, I thought it would be the same event. But in general, this is a whole Shaila. Is there a Dinah Shomeka on there when it comes to Birchas Hagana? Go ahead.
I think Rabbi Moshe holds that regardless of whether or not you fly over a body of water, you say Birchas Hagana. Does the Rosh Hashiva agree with that? Or?
That is not a proper way to formulate the question.
Right.
I am offer tachas kapas vaglav shel igros Moshe. Not even that. I'm not even worthy of being the dust at his feet. And so you have to put it, perhaps, what do
nowadays,
I do?
Nowadays, if one is flying
as opposed
over,
to,
nowadays,
what do I think, klapir abeshe? I don't think anything. I am batel, mevutel, ka'afra da'ara.
Nowadays, if one is flying over a body, over just land.
Yeah, so this is the whole discussion in the poskim. And maybe I should get to that discussion since you want me to talk about it. I meant to get to it, but I don't know if I will get to it. I just want to show you this lashon that I saw in one of the poskim on that matter. I'm talking about I actually Xeroxed something about it. It's a big machlokes as usual. Everything's a machlokes. Yerde Hayam. So, firstly, let me just mention several things. The one who holds that, I think people have a custom to say Agomel only if an airplane crossed over an ocean or a desert. That's my understanding. What is that based on? It's based on a Pesach of the Chazon Ish, and I think also the Stipler held like that. And there's the Tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchok, Dai Weiss, about that matter. The Tzitz Elias also has a Tshuva about that. That's how they generally pass it. So my personal opinion is exactly like that. That only if a person went over an ocean or a desert do you make Birchas Hagomel. However, if you look at the Tshuva about Moshe Feinstein, and I heard from Abdevin Solner, Hashem Ozalman Oyebach Zatzel, that after every airplane trip, you make a Birchas Hagomel. Doesn't make a difference. So it's a Machlokes Apostolim in terms of what to do as far as that's concerned. And I also want to mention there are those who contend that this is in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. I also heard the name of his uncle, the name of Briskov, Velvel, that they held that unless you have a potentially dangerous situation during the flight, that's why the Rav held, you don't make Birchas Hagomel on a flight. It's not necessary. I heard the Briskov also held like that, so I guess it must be a brisket thing, and it's also found, and this is what I discussed with him, with Rav Sternberg Shlita, when I went to visit him about a week ago in the shul in Har Nof. I had a list of questions, including Steris and his farm, Jerus Van Hoggis. That's when he told me that one of my Ramesha, I told you, even Ramesha would not have any Steris in his Jewish. How could he have? He started laughing uproariously. I think there are serious in his Shubhas on Hoggis. Not that I read it like the Ramban. That's why he asked me, what do you mean the Ramban? He said, you're reading Shubhas on Hoggis? Anyway, Bekitzer, he brings such positions that unless there's some potential danger, you're not going to make the bracha. So you have different shitas. I imagine, what is your shita here? What do people here hold? I assume you hold that you make a bracha sagano under all circumstances, no? What do people do when they take a flight? I assume they make a bracha sagano. That's generally what people do. I think that's the minhag. Didn't have a dinner. Yeah.
Why would going to Khazars be different than coming here?
No, it means completing the trip. That's the you're asking a good kasha. The trip is not over. You're still the emtza. That's the logic of Pandem Ramesha. I'm still in the middle. I haven't completed the trip.
So how long do you have to stay in America or in Israel?
That's a kasha. That's a very good kasha. And what's the answer to that question? It's not clear. Not clear at all to me.
So,
I didn't look around enough. I have to look more to see what Pasuk talk about it. I just want to just mention one or two other things here, just in terms of that issue that you referred to. Maybe I'll just mention both these together. This will take care of Michael, your problem as well. I don't know if we'll take care of it, but I'm trying to give an answer to a question that he asked, which I think is a sound question. I asked this question. I didn't get to Rav Nemtzol about it. I'm sure he would have told me something. But unfortunately, he was sleeping at 2 o'clock in the morning. Whatever the case, I don't know why. But anyway, I'll just mention that I saw that as far as women, let's start with that question. The women, because that's not get to the Mishnah, the women recite Bechas HaGomla. So what's the Havamina? Well, women did not bring a Korban Todah when they came to the Mishnah, of course they did. They also brought a Korban Todah. However, there's a problem. What's the problem? It was considered to be not modest for a woman to make a public recitation in front of 10 men. The Gemara says that you require 10 men. So many poskim have a discussion, and the Mishnah Berurah himself quotes a very fascinating opinion, happens to be the Magen Avraham. For a wife who has to say Birchas HaGomel, who should say it for her? Her husband. Ishu Begufo. Okay, that's very nice if you are married. What about a woman who's not married, or a single girl, and the like? What should she do? So here the Bi'Allah has a whole discussion, the Reshu Tess, and essentially, he rejects this option from a Halachic point of view, and the HaShulchan I saw that it was never accepted. The Shabura suggests that a woman say Birchas HaGomel in front of 10 women plus one man. Ask Michael Goldman Shlita, Mazet. 10 women plus one man. Anyway, I went looking around. I saw the Hashulchan, the Reshu Tess rejects this. The Grismation Archayim rejects it. I spent half the night looking for you. I don't have the Google capacity that you have. I have to mamish look around Chubas one after the next. Grismation Archayim in Chelekei, Sif Yudavid, rejects it. Rav Shlomo Zalman rejects it. Halicha Shlomo from the first Simon, but it's found there in Chav Gimel, or Izdalit. It's got a long Arichas there. I read half the Halicha Shlomo last night. I enjoyed it immensely, that sefer. The Kitzur, they reject this whole position. But of course, Michael Goldman wants to know what is the basis of this position. Shabura says a woman has to say Birchas HaGomel, should do so in the presence of, by the way, I'm not sure how many Mishabura is talking about. 9 women or 10 women plus one man? It's not clear to me. It could be 9 women or 10 women plus one man. We understand how 10 women can satisfy the requirement that our girl will be recited in front of 10 people. But what does Mishnah Berurah mean? One man be present? That's Michael Goldman's question. I asked this kasha to several members of my mishpacha, including one or two who are very fine Bnei Torah. They didn't give me an answer that satisfied me. And so I asked an Adam Godel in Bnei Brak. How did I get to him? Through my shvogah, through my brother-in-law. I told him to ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I made him crazy last night. I told him he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky this question, it's life or death.
Make a Birchas HaGomel.
What?
Make a Birchas HaGomel.
Rav Chaim Kanievsky gave the following answer in the name of Yishmer of Aliyashiv. Shashem Yishlach Lerufu Shlema. Aliyashiv, now I don't have the full answer because my shvaga told me, you know, it's not right what you did to me. I had to wake up, seek it, come to business, and get to Abchaim Kanievsky, and how long does he speak to you? Usually you get out of him Bracha Ba'atzlacha, and this required a bit more than Bracha Ba'atzlacha. So he told me the following, I actually wrote it down. Aliyashiv was asked that kasha. And he answered, Mishnah Berurah is referring to a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that HaGomel will be recited in the presence of at least two Talmidei Chachamim, what you mentioned from Rebbe Ben Rosh. However, there are Gemaras in Shas that we see that a group of women are considered to be like one man. There are several Gemaras that Eliyashiv referred to. He told me the Gemaras in Yevamos, that Pei Chesim Abeis, and the Gemara in Yevamos, and that Tezvah, but I'll have to investigate those Gemaras, you and I. Thus, one additional man will complete the requirement of having two Talmidei Chacham present. Ma pshat is it? So that's all he got out of him. He didn't tell me anything more, because that's all Abchaim Kanievsky said, and that was a lot. He quoted him two Gemaras in Yevamos, that there are, that's what Mishnah Berurah is talking about. You need two Talmidei Chachamim, And you find sometimes that a group of women are considered to be like one man. So one additional man, namely 9 or 10 women, plus one man, will complete the requirement of having 2 Talmid Chacham. Okay, I didn't fully grasp, but this is what I was told by Rav Chaim Kanevsky and Rav Eliashiv. I could not find anyone. I will talk to Rav Levinson when I get him about this Mishnah Berurah. I'm sure he'll have maybe a different shot than Mishnah Berurah, but I'm just telling that to you. In terms of when women say it or how they say it, so in my shul, what they do is, I mentioned this Rabbi Yehuda Shlita, that what they do is, I do what Rabbi Yechiel ben Chalab did. I davened his shul when I was a little kid. He's the son of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalab on the Dole Yerushalayim. And women said it from the balcony. They said it from the balcony, and everyone answered downstairs. Is that my shul sim etzlechem? No. Etzlechem, how was it? You never saw a woman say Birchas HaGomel? Wow. Anybody here, you never saw a woman say Birchas HaGomel? How'd they do it? They went from upstairs. How do you see it?
Yeah, it was like a house minion, so...
What was that?
It was like a separate minion, so...
Separate minion. Or you could, they actually, sometimes they'll do it, let's say, I know that this is done. You have in someone's home, you call 10 men, or you have the Suda Soda, whatever it may be, and then in that circumstance, because there are those who are opposed to it, Rav Levinson told me, so this practice of, they consider it to be Lot Sadua, doing it from the Ezra's Nashim, and I told Rav Levinson, Kach Ra'iti, Yitzhah, Vatil, Lut Chala, Habesh, Rav Moshe. So I told him that, and that's what he said, Eini Malagi. That's what he told me. He has nothing more to say. He says, anyone who's connected to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalab or his son, he's like, Devi Eilam, Vani Loichalagi Shum Dabar. That's what he told me, I know. Anyway, so some say, again, you can do it in a woman's home when 10 men are present. It's not so difficult to do this. I should just point out that who quotes this opinion? I went looking to see from the Ezra's Noshim. I found the Be'er HaTev, the Reshu Tess, Sifalov over here, quotes from Nesach Dela. And someone told me, it's in the Ben Ishchai, I don't have it, so I can't look. Maybe you look for me. In the Ben Ishchai, Pashas Eker, they told me. He says it there, and it's in the Chavadas. Rav Avadya does quote in Chelik Dalet. Chavadas, he quotes also such an opinion. However, there are those who contend that this is not correct, and therefore they suggest the following. When a husband gets an Aliyah for the Torah, and had the specific intent of fulfilling her obligation to thank Hashem for his chesed to her, so she answers Baruch Hashem, Baruch Yolam Vayed, and Amen, and Mela, that takes care of it, and that's what the method used by women, that's what they do, and that's why there are many women who give birth, Yoledes, when she recovers, she goes to shul, and responds to her husband's aliyah, and somehow, of course, in that case, her husband's aliyah has priority over any other chiyuv. And that is another approach that women have in terms of this particular, I don't know what they do in your shuls, what do they do? Have a statement of it. Wablowski, remember, what do your wives do when you give birth? Not you, your wives, that is.
The teller's house.
What?
In the teller's house.
Okay. How'd you do it? What? By Kiddush. Okay, so. You know, by the Bris, that's also another way of doing it. I saw actually. In Igris Moshe, but I don't fully understand this, I'll be honest with you. Igris Moshe, the Kelly K, says that a woman can recite Birchas HaGomel in anyone's presence, man or woman. If she's married, she should do it in her husband's presence. That's a Chiddush Gadol that Moshe has in Kelly K, you double it. But whatever the case is, there's another psak that was told to me by Rav Levinson and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that when she says the brach of HaGoyim L'chassadim Tev, the Yom Yisrael in the morning, after Birchas HaShachar, she should have in mind to fulfill this mitzvah as well. That's what he told me, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Paskin, we reference this matter. Okay, I'll just mention one or two more things. As far as the specifics, crossing a desert. Tell me, is there any Birchas HaGomel recited today when I'm traveling through the, going to Be'er Sheva? You ever travel to Be'er Sheva? Shmuel Berkowitz. Went to Be'er Sheva. And did you go ahead and say Birchas HaGomel on the way back? Is it any more dangerous than going on an interstate highway? Don't tell me yes. But the Pashas, I would say, you don't say Birchas HaGomel. Of course, if you lost your way in the desert, then of course I can understand why you would say Birchas HaGomel. As far as imprisonment, as I said, it seems poshut that modern prisons can be quite dangerous, even in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. But in Chutz Haaretz, I imagine there are certainly massive danger where people are in prison, though. Pollard is imprisoned because you have I mean, I'm talking about the machlokas apostate by Chavish Reis Asur is only imprisonment, which your life is in danger, a threat, you're in a prisoner of war, a criminal activity. I don't think one's life is necessarily in danger. That's why I don't exactly know what the sakana involved is. You have to somehow figure out the measure of sakana in order to know whether you're going to make a bracha. As far as illness is concerned, this I told you, recovery from any illness, which could be life-threatening, or surgery that requires general anesthesia. And when you recover completely, that's when you should make this bracha. As far as going into the sea, I discussed that a little bit. It seems to me that Dafka has to be a real voyage. Some people take now these, what they call them, these transatlantic cruises. And I want to just mention a few more things now that are relevant.
What's with the cruise?
Again, it seems to me, Lefiat Yus Daiti, that if there's a potentially dangerous situation that arises, then you would, otherwise not. I don't see that it's a fear to make a go. Well, I just want to mention a few more things that are relevant that you can speak. I want to just mention, for example, car accidents. Or, God forbid, a person was a survivor of a bus that was blown up by a suicide bomber. What was it, a shooting attack? I don't know, any of these things. So here already you have, clearly, I just want to read, I actually Xeroxed from Rav Shlomo Zalman in Bach. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a very famous tshuva, which is really kedai to read. Mincha Shlomo, he has a lot of discussion of these topics. And among the things that he speaks about is this issue. Did I not Xerox it? Maybe I didn't. But the issue is car accidents. Now car accidents, unfortunately, are very common. Even in Chutzaretz, and sometimes here, they just there was a bicycle accident. They saw Dr. Levitt. These were four Shleiman. I actually know him my whole life. I grew up with him. He's a bit older than I am, but he's a very good chaver of my brother. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes the following. A person who is Karol Sakana. I drive here every day. I'm Karol Sakana. There's a guy every morning. He leaves almost the same time that I go going to Yeshiva. He drives right on top of me. Push it right on top of me. So I didn't know what to do for a long time. It's going on for about the last 2 or 3 years. So I stopped the car one day. He almost hit me, of course. I stopped the car. I go behind him. So he says, Lama Tzalta! Now, why did I stop the car?
I said, Biglal, She'ata, Nohe, Kimo, Adam, Mituras. I know how to get a pretty good fly. Anyway, so he says, Is it Mituf? He says, he tells me, Ata, Jose, Kamada.
You are blocking each one lane. You're blocking the entire lane.
I thought Hussein didn't come out there. I said, Takomoti, go around me. He does it most of the time. But sometimes he can't because he might go into a precipice. That's not a good thing. He means he'll go straight down there, etc. I shouldn't say this. I won't say it. You know, sometimes you... okay, anyway... He's on me, what they call, tailing me. He's right behind me. No matter, and I drive not over the speed limit. So what is the speed limit? So he told me the speed limit is 140 kilometers. I go like this. And he actually drives like that. The only thing is I get a kick out of is every time he passes me, which is like every day, same guy, I don't know what he's waiting for me to come there. I'm not sure what's going on. And so every time he passes me, guess what? He's way ahead of me. And usually he issues some... From his physiognomy, I can tell how angry he is at me, or he uses his hands to gesticulate and then tells me how angry he is at me, etc., etc. 10, 15 minutes later, I get up to him. He's stuck behind the truck. I love it. I start laughing. And by the way, he sees me in the mirror. He says, the guy's frightened. I frightened this guy. For this guy alone, I would say, like, I just don't know if he's going to attack me one day. Anyway, so Hashem Zalman says, if someone is karm a sakana, v'nitzel heimena, enim avarech. Only if there was a sakana. What does a sakana mean? It says that on the bottom here. They threw, God forbid, a stone was thrown at you. I know people who live. Last night I traveled to Beit Orot, which is, and it was a bar mitzvah I was speaking at. Beit Orot is near Wadi Joe's. And that's not exactly, it's the Har HaZeitim area. And luckily my wife was not with me. Baruch Hashem, she went to the Chasana first. I went to everything and missed everything. Anyway, but the my wife was embarrassed, I remember Blaskin. They called me up for a bracha in the L'chuppah. But I didn't get there yet. I came after L'chuppah. Anyway, so they were looking for me. My wife got a little embarrassed. Why should you get embarrassed? I said, I wasn't there. What's the problem? They just called somebody else. Anyway, so the I came into Wadi Joe's, which is an area I don't suggest you travel in.
I don't even know where I was, except it looked very threatening and very ominous, and all Arabs around me. And I was just going driving, didn't know where in heaven's name I was going. I was thinking, should I get out and ask somebody? But I probably would have been a member of the PLO at that point. Anyway, if they throw stones at you, v'lo paga begufo, atim paga b'schuchi shal yodav nisnatza, says Hashem Zaman. They smash the windshield by throwing stones at you, and clearly that's a pretty traumatic event. Kol shalom nitzu v'sisim olav, as long as the v'sisim, the shards of glass don't fall on you, enu m'varech. Atim aderech mu'edet l'kach. Even though you're in Wadi Joe's, together with our cousins. You are traveling on the road, and all of a sudden, they're shooting at you. As long as they didn't hit you, you don't have to make a problem. But I'm psyched. Many years ago, I think I said over the story, it's a true story in Beit El. I went to visit a chaver of mine, Rav Lishitz, he's a rabbi in Shabbat Rachayim in Toronto. I was very friendly with him. I went to visit him in Beit El. And at that time, it was during the Intifada, in the 80s, and I did not know the Derech to Beit El, and there were no GPSs, wouldn't help me anywhere. Usually my GPS, I ended up in Arab refugee camps for some reason, as opposed to my wife said, this doesn't look like a hospital at all. And then the army has to get me out of there very quickly. And so I'm going to Beit El, and apparently I missed Beit El. I ended up in Ramallah. Not a very friendly place, especially during the Intifada. And all of a sudden, I hear gunshots. And I said, where could that be coming from? The Arabs were shooting at me, shooting at my car. I had a rented car, and they were shooting at me. I went into hysteria. It's not the right word. I was pushing, my heart was in my mouth. And all of a sudden, I said, well, what should I do? So I stepped on the pedal. And I was driving like this, round and round, because I couldn't even recognize where the road was. And I was riding the mule, they were shooting at me, it was clear they were shooting at me. And they actually, thank God, because of my erratic driving, they did hit me, thank God. Meanwhile, this God Lipschitz, Chaim Lebracha, was waiting for me by the crossroads, and he saw what was happening. So first I see him out of the corner of my eye, I said, thank God, he's there. And he's chuckling, he's laughing. I've been shot at. And this guy's laughing. Anyway, he's a sharpshooter. In 2 minutes, the car that chased me, every tire was shot out. Like this, one after the next. One, two, three, four. And the entire car turned upside down. That is their car, not my car. Anyway, so, and he then calmly proceeds and puts up his hand. I should stop going like this. So you have now something. He came over to me. And I was in a state of, what's the word? Petrifaction. I don't know how to describe it. It took him 6 hours to calm me down. He took me to his house. Pasha didn't know what to do. I was in hysteria. I was in Pasha, and I didn't recover from that. I had the trauma left the same with me for probably not weeks, probably months. I'm not exaggerating. And so I was suffering. And so he said to me, so I said to him, Ezim Kabab is here. He said, Lama higata lahamala. I said, I don't like your tatrachim. He says to me, so I says, I told him, Tireh ma shekara, look what happened. He says, ah, shum nama, zeh masim b'vayom. He shot out every tire on the car, and the car went flip-flopping the other way around. And then you can see, he was the other day, I said, okay, Baruch Hashem, all the days work. And that's the godless of Israelis. Anyway, so the Rashi was on Paskins. You don't make a bracha second. Billy Clinton. And he goes further. He tells us, let's say a person underwent some internal procedure, even though it wasn't done through a balloon and the like. He's talking about very serious medical procedures. He said that, of course, once there's any kind of incision and the like, then certainly going to make a bracha second. And he gives you many other examples here. He writes here. Talking about specific situations, if you're interested in specific situations, I can just read to you what he's talking about. Okay, more or less, I tried to cover different areas of Bechas HaGomel. If you have any issues or questions, please feel free to ask. So that's a discussion of the Paskim. The Paskim generally assumed, and he writes it here as well. I'll just read to his Lashon regarding Tanim. Yeshul he's stopping. There's a suffix whether a kohen is obligated to birchas hagomel.
And the truth of the matter is, this suffix is discussed by the poskim. Generally, the minig is not. The minig is for cotton, not the minig because sometimes you have a cotton.
God forbid.
What? Correct. Exactly. Exactly.
Very good.
Even if it's a katan will go on planes, or katan will, God forbid, and get become sick, and then get better. There's a big suffix whether the chay bechalal b'chazakol. He writes over here at the bottom one of his sahuras. He says, "I'll read you the sahura." You can't use that kind of logic. Because he's not a, as you know, that's why, according to one opinion anyway, parents, by a cotton, because of a mitzvah, they said, but they're the ones who are carrying the load, according to one opinion. But according to one opinion, they're the ones who are carrying the load, and therefore they would not be in a position to go ahead and say, there doesn't go. The meaning is like that. Now, I've seen that happen where a parent will say on behalf of the child, because the parent certainly feels the hatzalah of his son unquestionably, and there's certainly a mocker to do something like that. And matter of fact, that if we're talking about a tino, let's say a very, very young child, I think the practice is not to say because of gomel in that kind of situation. The fact of the matter is that, but if a tinok is a little bit, cotton is actually a bit older, I think I've seen people do that, that they go ahead, the father can make such a bracha. However, I've also seen situations, he talks about it, Mishari Tshuva, I don't have my Mishavur here for a second, look at Reshu Tess, somewhere, I think it's Sivkat Nalef, Mishavur also talks about it. Mishavur says, meaning is not to make a bracha. But somehow, as I said, there are people who do make a bracha, even ktanim, make a bracha on a hatzalah. I know a cotton was in a terrible accident and also surgery, and he made a bracha when he recovered. He was about 9, 10 years old, and he actually went and made a bracha. But the minhag generally is not to make a bracha on the part of ktanim, because of what Rabbi Zikin said as far as agim al chayim tells. Yeah?
Let's say someone puts themselves in like a makom sakana and something goes wrong,
What's called putting yourself in makom sakana? Some of the chutzar just told me when I went on the Shabbaton for the yeshiva, okay. They just told me, I spoke to someone there about going coming to Eretz Yisrael, and he told me all of Eretz Yisrael is one big makom sakana. That's what he told me. It's one thing if you tell me Ramallah is a makom sakana, the Haitian refugee camp is a makom sakana, all of Eretz Yisrael is a makom sakana. He says he doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael, was a member of that group that was there. I spoke to several of those people for all kinds of reasons. Anyway, so one of them told me he doesn't come to Eretz Yisrael because it's a makom sakana. I asked him, where do you live? He lives in New York. New York is not a makom sakana. There are people who won't live where Rabbi Mickey Mark, I don't know if you know who he is. He's a let's not get into that again. So, Mickey Mark is the mankal, the executive director of the yeshiva. He lives in Othniel. There are people who hold, you're not living in Othniel. There's a big yeshiva in Othniel, one of the biggest yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. They live in Othniel. Matter of fact, they showed us last night in Beit Or Road, a fellow who had the bar mitzvah. Behind Beit Or Road, they're building another 60 apartments. Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbo. And they plan on having, there's a kollel there. I know the Rosh Yeshiva Beit Orot, he used to be a Raman Or Etzion. Anyway, so they're building beyond that, and they're going to be 250 families living in that area. Kain Yirbo, Baruch Hashem. We should be Kodesh, all of East Jerusalem. Alevi Bekarov. And it's an area which is pretty protected. You might get the wrong idea. There are fences there, there are guards there. You could live there. You would like it. I would like it there, by the way. Just I don't know if my wife would come with me. But it's a very nice place. Yeah.
Yes. But what's the difference between cruise and a plane that's crossing the ocean? You said a cruise.
I think a cruise, unless it's a potential dangerous situation.
You said sailing on an airplane.
Okay. That's what I saw. That you held. Exactly. He held. It was saved. He said he flew for over 40 years on the Eastern Line shuttle from Boston to New York. He saw no need to make a business like that. But going to, I was once in a car. And I actually went to the car just so I can ask the love questions on the way to the airport. You would have seen what was going on there. I'm telling you, you either would have been on the floor or you would have been in a state of a tizzy. So the driver is driving, Russell, let you sit next to the driver, and I'm behind. I take out my pad and I got all my questions ready. So first I asked the Rav, I said, the Rav, I have the following question on the Shia that he just gave. The Rav says, what are you talking about? Watch out! Watch out! Look, look over here! He does not know. It's the whole ride. The whole ride. He even the driver has gone to the airport, I don't know how many times. He drives the Rav to the airport all the time. And it's time. So I asked the driver, what's going on here? He said, that's how I saw Magic. He was very, very nervous. The Rav always very, very nervous. Briskers are very nervous. You ever meet a brisker in the street? Go in. I don't want to mention names. There's a... Sorry, Rav Soloveitchik's cousins here in Yerushalayim. So I happened to be once with Dr. Grach, Rav Soloveitchik's son. So I happened to be walking with him. And so he went to visiting his cousins. And so he met in the street one of his cousins, one of the Dadi Eilam, a son of the Brisker Rav. And you see what's going on there in the streets. He meets him on the street. And he says, Shalom Aleichem. You know, they're very... And right away, the whole time, he's talking to Dr. Grach. And the whole time, he's looking around. I said, well, what's he looking? What's the problem? He's talking to his cousins. First cousins, no? The first cousins. And then right away, I saw that there was maybe 3 minutes later, there was a car coming. But the car was far away. So he tells in Yiddish to Dr. Grach, he said, it doesn't mean Yiddish. That's my position. So he says, what's the problem? He says, the record was about 5,000 meters away. It's never mind the way they're always, you know. So I saw that she dropped me in the car. It was crazy. So he said, did you, there was a left over here. He said, Rebbe, I know, we've driven this many times. No, watch out. He said, you're too close to the car. This is the whole entire trip. It's hilarious. So I ended up not asking anybody any questions, except the driver on the way back, who was my chavisa. Anyway, the kids are so. Yeah, they're very nervous. But on a plane, the Rav said, there's no need to make that nervous
anymore. Yeah. So what I left out of the question is, like, let's say you put yourself in, like, an action where you're supposed to have your own
What does that mean, though? I don't know what it means to put this on a motorcycle. Like, if I go into a lion's cage and close the cage door, and I think, I am Daniel. I am Hanani Mishom Azaria.
For example, like skiing or skydiving, and something
goes wrong. I heard Rav Will actually tell. Oh, that skiing is the ice. I once asked him about that. I said, east of the Iceland, why skiing in east of the Iceland? Because there are many, many accidents. So I said, if someone knows how to ski, I can understand. I went to Rockefeller Center, Walden Ring. Well, a father of mine wanted to teach me how to skate. Yeah, I reminded the Beis HaLevi about the Sachmet. Anyway, so he wanted to teach me how to skate. And so he said, I'm going to hold on to you and you'll glide like a swan. I said, everyone glide like a swan on the ice. I said, I also want to glide like a swan on the ice. And so each one of them, two chaver, very good chaver, so-called good chaver. So each one elbow to the left hand, one elbow to the right hand, and I'm gliding on the ice. It was developing. And I really thought I was like flying high. And then all of a sudden, they're not there. And I am petrified, terrified beyond belief. And of course, about 10 seconds later, I fell down and broke my ankle. That was the first time I went skating, and the last time I went skating. They could understand it. What was the problem? So if you know what you're doing, at one time they used to play in MTA, they used to play football in the gym. The old gym. Not the new gym. You know the old gym? The old gym, it's lower than the ceiling. That's when we play basketball, Davaran. Davaran was asleep. We used to play basketball with him at 1 o'clock at night. So we used to play basketball. Mamish, he has a great hook shot. Tremendous, outstanding about it. Anyway, so we used to play in that gym. So they used to play football in that gym. Tackle football. I remember once we used to play football in the back of the high school dormitory. I don't know if anyone remembers the back of the high school dormitory, where the gym is now. But there was a field there. Is that where the gym is exactly? The gym is sliding to the right. The gym is more toward the... Between the morgue and what's the other one called? Reuben. What's there between the two? The gym?
Yeah,
anyway, there was a field there in the back. We used to play football. So I remember catching a long touchdown pass. And I caught it, and I ran into a massive metal, it was a metal chair, bench. Massive metal bench, but I caught that pass. That's all they were happy about. I fractured my nose, I was bleeding profusely, I came out unconscious, And that's all they were interested in. And then they were saying, oh, we caught the pass in Baruch Hashem. And meanwhile, I'm lying there. They take me into the dormitory. I remember the dorm mother was Mrs. Weisenfeld. She was a den, about 120, I have stuff out. So they take me into her, and she says to me, I'm bleeding profusely, I'm all blown up, inflamed, she didn't come out. You will love it, I'll be so chai. You want a little tea? Then they took me to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where I was diagnosed with a fractured nose and a few other things. But the main thing was, Baruch Hashem, I caught the pass. That was the income. Yes?
In the army?
Yeah.
If you go on a mission, like you have to say it every time after a mission? Or?
I asked this Shiloh Trav Nebetzel. So he told me, if potentially, again, danger, there are different levels of danger. As I told you, this is about God Lifshitz, of Ender Bracha, did not think that what I went through was anything dangerous. I said, a guy shoots at you. And said, I thought it was the Wild West, Amarama Parua. I don't know how else to describe it. He said, what are you talking about? This is, if you live in that area, it's Masim Shabbat Yom. What is the problem? And then he told me, David, Atam Mifunak, he got them in New York, in America. You know what I'm talking about? You're a very squeamish, fastidious person. What's your problem? Grow up, Ashtiko Macho, Machismo, and all that kind of stuff, etc. What's your problem? So it depends how you define danger. Most soldiers don't define danger the way we define danger. But people, for example, I don't know if you, I'm involved with a lot of chayalim, I have them in my shul. And they are exposed to a lot of things on a daily basis. There's a little guy in my shul, Stu Schrader. He's a cute little guy. He was in Shechem during the Intifada. You know, there's a book about it. I don't know if you read it. It's in English, actually. It was first written in Hebrew, and then translated to English. The fighting that went on from house to house. They wanted to capture, it was bloody Shein Kamo. And he was involved, he was a tankist. He was in a tank. And you should hear him talk about it. I should invite him to the yeshiva. But it's about 10 years ago. He's already shachuk from that. But you should hear what chayalim say. They don't view that as being something which is overly dangerous. That's like part of the, more or less, what they do on an ongoing kind of basis.
You know, if you go into Gaza, you don't have to say anything?
Per se, going into Gaza, you don't have to say a brichas hagomel. If, however, there are potentially dangerous situations, God forbid, things blow up and the like, explosives and what have you, then you have a different situation. But you saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Paskin regarding car being stoned and things of that sort. He's pretty cool about it. Yeah.
How does it work with your point of view of danger changing? Meaning now, let's say if you're not a soldier, you view it as dangerous, but once you become a soldier, then let's say, right, it becomes a little more normal.
Could be that each matzav has its own definition of what calls like on it. I think so. Might be based on the particular situation. What chayalim consider to be sakana, we don't consider to be sakana. Every time I go to, every Rosh Hashanah night, Erev Rosh Hashanah, I go to Daven El Chevron. It's years, I've been doing it for the last 17 years, ever since I came to Eretz Yisrael. I say Slichas in Chevron. And so, how do I go there? One of my balabatim is a tour guide. And so we drive at 12 o'clock at night at the Simtaot. He knows the Simtaot of Chevron inside out. You know, once or twice, it was a little bit, shall we say, stones being thrown at us and things like that. So I got a little bit edgy. That is to say, I get nervous in these things. And he took it very calmly. Didn't see what the problem was. He actually was carrying neshek. And the matter, I remember when I went with my mother, Allah Shalom, once or twice to Har HaZeitim, to the kever of my father, Zuchat Rafa, we were shot at by Arabs on Har HaZeitim. And so the driver got out. And he was like, what? He was one of these fighting guys. But he had neshek. He got out of the car, all of a sudden started shooting in all directions. My mother almost had his apoplexy. They don't consider this to be something unusual. We're not accustomed to this type of lifestyle, so it's a bit more difficult for us. But I think the sakana really depends on someone who knows the matzav there, that particular circumstances. And based on that, judges accordingly. Okay, I have one more question.
In a crisis, where you operate with a discretion?
It seems to me, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, what I just read to you over here, that if you have a, that's mamasha sakana, certainly. You're not karva sakana. You were the terrible sakana. For sure, you make a bracha. I don't see the issue. I mean, people are... But these, all these, what they call them...
Fender benders,
which happened mamish masim shebechol yom. There was a Rebbe of mine, he was a Echad Migdolei Ador. So he wasn't exactly the greatest driver. So he... And he should have rested when he was... at one time he drove till we stopped. We didn't permit him to drive anymore because he was really in a different realm. And so he would come to the yeshiva, and we'd have a whole bunch of guys watching him trying to park. It was the most hilarious thing imaginable. He would try to get into it. He just couldn't get into a space. It was impossible. And there was plenty of room. He just couldn't get in. So then he would back into the car in front of him, and he was smashed. And then a second later, he knew he had to move up. And so he'd move up, smash it. We used to watch this. And so until finally, Eddie was put to it. Because he was such an honest person, he would then proceed to go and write a note on the car behind him, on the car in front of him, write his address and his name and his telephone. So what does he have to pay? How much does he chayiv? Also, that was another lesson in Kiddush Hashem. He just couldn't park in any kind of way without hitting somebody. So fender benders left and right. Every single time we went to pick him up. We had to pick him up and brought him aside and brought him back. And that's what he used to do on a daily basis. It was worthwhile because he said shiurim, how much he was there till 1 o'clock in the morning. He had shiurim at night from him, early in the morning from him, middle of the day from him. He was available 24/7. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to keep you so late, but I had a very good time here and I appreciate the fact that you came. And Baruch Hashem, you are very kind souls.
Is it the real Shulchan Aruch?